This morning's scripture will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Again, that's Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. And it reads, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall."
Good morning. It is a delight to see you here this morning. We are thrilled at your presence and the opportunity that's ours to assemble here and to offer up worship to our God. There is certainly no better place we could be this morning than here, one with another, honoring and glorifying our Heavenly Father. We started a sermon last week, Sunday night, about the differences between the wise man and the foolish man. We continue that thought. We were going to get into some practical matters. As I try to get better at this preaching thing, I'll try to maybe incorporate these into one sermon rather than two. But time gets away, or I just talk too much, one or the other. I don't know. Working on it, though. I trust you're still improving at your job. Yes? No? You've mastered it all, and therefore there's not mine yet, but we're working on it. We're working on it. The wise man built his house upon the rock. What we wanted to do is get into some practical matters about what that actually means. We talked about the differences last week. What does it actually mean to build your house, your life? And we should say that, so let me very quickly. The house represents the person's life. And so what does it mean to build your house, to build your life on Jesus Christ? One of the things that's very clear about the Bible is that it is a book of contrast. It intends to show us two different things and then show us the differences between them. So in the Bible, you'll read about light and darkness. You'll read about good and evil. You'll read about the eternal world and the material world, heaven and hell. And one of the great and stark contrasts is having Jesus or not having Jesus. In this context, that's what's being discussed. One of these men has chosen to build his life, his house, his life on Jesus. Now, the other man has chosen not to do that. And the differences, as we looked at last week, are very stark. But as we dig a little deeper this morning, we'll talk about what that actually means. You don't have to build your house on Jesus. You don't have to. You do have an option. God, in his infinite goodness, has given humanity the ability to choose. And he has made us free. And one of the choices you can make is, I don't want God in my life. You can make that choice. And there's nothing anything any human being can do about it. There's nothing God will do about it. That is, God won't force you to build your house on him. He will not force you to do that. There are some consequences to these decisions, though, and there is meaning behind it. What does it mean to build your house on Jesus? Let's talk about four things this morning with regards to that. This man who built his house on Jesus, he built his house on that which is eternal, not temporal. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, speaking of these contrasts, talking about suffering for the cause of Christ, which is what you'll read in that chapter. He and the other apostles and prophets have been suffering for the cause of Christ. As Paul looks at his life and that suffering, he says, for which cause? That is, if you read earlier in the chapter, he has been talking about it. And he'll go through several things. We are this, but we're not that. We are this, but we're not that. And he goes all the way through this series of things that has happened to them and their suffering. He says, for the which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I was talking to somebody, I don't remember who, and we were talking about how fast time passes and how it seems like the older you get, the time moves quicker, and we know that's not actually happening, but it just seems that way. And then we started talking about your mind still being sharp and how you think you can do things you didn't used to, you know, you still thought you could do things. And I mentioned my mother in that context. I see her here, so I'll be careful. But I remember, I hope she doesn't mind me saying these things. I remember hearing Mama fail. I said, what? Mama fail? Well, what'd y'all do about it? What happened? They said, she was on a ladder. I said, now what in the world? What in the world? It wasn't a great big ladder. It was one of those three-step little deals. But I said, what is she? And I got over and I started talking to her. And about this ladder climb, I said, honey, you can't be climbing. She said, boy, I've always climbed on these ladders. I just thought I could. Mine, just as sharp as it always is, think you can do that. And they said the most interesting thing to me. They said, you know, the reason it feels like you can still do things is because your spirit doesn't age. Your body is perishing, but your spirit renewed day by day. It doesn't know. It has no concept of what I came to know. I just climb the ladder, always climb the ladder. The body is failing. That's Paul's point. Paul says our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more an exceeding and eternal weight in glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. And then he says this, for the things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. What does it mean to build your house on Jesus? That's what the Lord is saying. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wise man. Why is he wise? He's building his house on eternal things, not temporal things. Jesus Christ is spiritual, not material. Jesus Christ is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, John says, and the life was the light of men. Later, verse 14, John says, the Word became flesh. But the Word was not always flesh. In fact, in John 8 and verse 58, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. He is eternal. He would tell Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, what happens if you don't build on Jesus? You see, by then, if you don't build on Jesus, you don't have any other option. You're building on the sinking sand of the material. You're building on something that will not endure and cannot last. In fact, the builder himself won't last. James says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Here is an individual then who is building his life not on the eternal, but on something that's a vapor. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Not only is it building on the sinking sand of the temporal, he's building on something that can be taken away. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth decay and where thieves break through and steal. If it's not Jesus you're building on something that cannot and will not endure. That makes one man wise, that makes the other man foolish. What does it mean to build your life on Jesus? It's to build on the eternal. But then secondly, it's to build on the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men. As the Apostle Paul talked about God's wisdom, division in Corinth, and he began to talk about the preaching of the cross of Christ, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. In fact, Paul records and quotes the prophet, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you continue reading in the chapter 2 of that chapter, Paul talks about his preaching and how the wisdom of God and what he knew to be Jesus Christ and him crucified. When you build your life on Jesus, you're building your life on divine revelation and divine wisdom. No new information is necessary and no updates are needed. For Jesus Christ is the truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. This is an individual then who is listening to the authoritative word of Jesus. In fact, as you end Matthew chapter 7, the people who were around, they said he spoke as one having authority, not as the scribes. Never has any man spake like this man. Compare that to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 10:23. Speaking of man, he says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not within himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Or maybe you hear the apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 and about verse 20 beginning, talking about God's revelation and how God had made himself known through his creation, that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They cast God off, exchanged the glory of God for that which is corruptible. Paul said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, when you start to listen to the wisdom of men, you hear things like this. And I suggest to you this. This is from some of our best and brightest, if you will. This is from the people with several degrees and a lot of letters behind their names. These are some of the things they say. This is their wisdom. Point number one is, turns out you're an animal. That's wisdom. That's the wisdom of men. As I heard one of these scholarly individuals refer to himself and the cow as his cousin. The cow is my cousin, he said. Such an individual might be led to believe, as some have said, there's no difference between you and bacteria. You know, you start to think through that. I don't know how many of you, I guess they're probably everybody at one point, you were all children. I trust at some point you came across an ant you didn't like. And for whatever reason, none known to the ant, you picked up your little bitty foot. You wanted to see if it had the capacity to end this ant's life. And chances are real good you did. In fact, you might have found this game so intriguing that you found a whole family of them and just went on dancing around in the ants and just killing as many as you could. Now, I ask you this. Is there any difference between that and the Holocaust? Any difference between what you did and what they did? No, you see, surely not actually, because our wisdom says you're an animal, that's an animal, no difference when you kill an animal, nothing is happening here. That's the wisdom of men. Wisdom of men says you're just matter in motion, you have no soul, there is no purpose to your being here. It's amazing that purposeless people keep looking for purpose. It's amazing that matter in motion keeps trying to find meaning. We keep searching for, you know, I've actually read and heard atheists say, you don't even have a mind, you don't think, you don't reason, you don't purpose, you don't choose. They go on and on and on with this kind of thinking. That's the wisdom of men. And there are people, if you don't choose God, you're building your house on the wisdom of men. Not this individual. Jesus says he hears these sayings of mine and he does them. He doeth them. We talked about it last week. All the things that Jesus covered in that chapter, chapters 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. What does it mean to build your house on Jesus Christ? It's to build it on the wisdom of God and not to build it on the wisdom of men. But then thirdly, it means to build it on that or he who is all powerful versus being very limited in our strength. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly? This is Jesus talking to the rich man, the one we refer to as the rich young ruler. Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They said unto him then, who then can be saved? Listen to what Jesus said. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. When you and I build our house on Jesus Christ, we are building our house on He who is omnipotent. The one who has, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When you start seeing and hearing what Jesus has and is capable of doing, it's no wonder the Apostle Paul asked the question, who can separate us from the love of Christ? In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35, Paul lists any number of things. In fact, it's sure that he intended to try to grab all that is and suggest that there is nothing that can take us from Jesus. He asks, shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In verse 38, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus has all power. When you are saved by Jesus, when you build your house on Him, there is nothing the world can do to you to take you from Him. Somebody will say, well, we'll kill you. Well, good. You'll send us to Him. But you won't take us from Him. Genesis 18, 14 is still true. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. With men, there are things that are impossible, but not with Jesus. This man who builds his house on Jesus will rise from the dead one day because Jesus rose from the dead. John 10, 17 and 18, Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This authority or this power, this might, he says, came from my Father. Jesus has this ability. This man who builds his house on him is trusting that which is eternal. I cannot imagine what a funeral must be like for people who have no hope in Jesus Christ. I know what they're like for those of us who do. I know they're hard for us. I know they're painful. But then I know underneath that pain, there's hope. That what sustains people through it, what comforts them, is assurance. We'll see Him again. We absolutely know that. He rose, we'll rise. How can you get through that without Him? Such is the case, though, when you don't build your house on Jesus Christ. You're limited in your strength. You're limited in what you're able to do. With men, it's impossible, but not with God. But then, number four, building your house on Jesus means building your house on certainty, not doubt. There were several times that our Lord and Savior ran into conflict, if you will, in His ministry and in His life. Friends would abandon Him. That's tough. People stopped following Him. I don't mind telling you, that hurts too. It hurts when people walk away from you. It hurts when people turn their back on you. It hurts when people give up on you. And John chapter 6 is one of those instances. Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I spake unto you, they are spirit and they are life. A few verses later, after some of His disciples said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? The Bible records their actions and their thoughts. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. It's tough for us to imagine that, but that is what they were walking with Jesus and they were with Him. And they were in the group as a follower of Jesus. I suppose at that point, it's right to call them a disciple. But then at some point, something He said, one of the messages He preached, it reached a point for them that they said, I can't go with Him any longer on that. If He's going to teach that, you know, people do the same thing to the Lord today. If He's going to teach that, heard people say it, my God won't. The God I serve won't. And then they say something that the Bible expressly says He does. I don't know which God they have. They have reached a point with Jesus where they said, we can't go with you any longer. You know what Jesus does in that instance? If you read John chapter 6, the Bible says he turned to the 12, which separates the disciple group from the small group of 12 apostles. And Jesus, watching some people walk away from him because of his teaching, turned to those 12 men whom he had hand selected, and he asked them, will you also go away? Has it gotten too hard for you? Are you also going to join them and walk away? Peter's answer, Lord, to whom shall we go? If you walk away from Jesus, to whom shall you go? You'll go to that which is temporal. If you walk away from Jesus, to whom shall you go? You'll walk away from that which is limited. You'll walk away and go to the wisdom of men. Jesus, Peter said to the Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Peter went on to say, and we are sure that you are the Son of God. There is certainty when you build your house on Jesus Christ. There is certainty about the effectiveness of his teaching. Here's what we know for sure. If you take the teachings of our Lord and Savior, apply them and put them into your heart and mind, and live them out in your life, they will work. We know that for sure. We know that Jesus has the power to forgive sins. That if you are walking this path and you repent and you turn your heart, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you, makes you a new creation. We know that for sure. In this life, we are absolutely certain about the convictions and the teachings of Jesus, certain about all things that have been given to us that pertain to life and godliness, certain that we can be good husbands and good wives and good parents, certain that we can be faithful members of his body, certain that we can let our life, certain about these matters, and one day absolutely certain that we are going home to be with him in glory. Without Jesus, friends, there is nothing but doubt and uncertainty, and there is nothing on which you can build your house that will effectively provide for you sureness and certainty. Paul said, for I know whom I believed in, and am persuaded that he is able. That's the kind of conviction. John says, we know that we know. Building on Jesus prepares you for the storms of life. And that's part of that passage. Jesus didn't simply say the wise man built his house. No, Jesus says the storms came. And the difference between these two lives is that when the storms come, one will stand. With regards to storms, friends, you should know this. People will bring you storms. In fact, if you live a godly life, they're unavoidable, according to 2 Timothy 3:12. You and I might check our lives and ask the question is, if I don't have any storms, what's wrong with me? Because the Bible says all that live godly shall suffer persecution. If you shine your light, the darkness will have a problem with it. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, you let your light so shine, people will find you out. And people will have a problem with your light shining. If you share the good news, the world will bring you storms. You mean to tell me you believe I have to be baptized? Yes, that's what the Bible teaches. Well, you're narrow-minded. Hello, storm. You're always around here talking about that baptism stuff. We don't want you to come back. Hello, storm. Friends, you can't live godly and righteously. People will bring you storms. But then secondly, life will bring you storms. All you got to do is wake up here on planet Earth. Something will happen. The old people, I love it. The older I get, the more I love old people and their wisdom. I'm telling you what, it's like they've been here before or something. Just as smart as they want to be. Sharp, boy, I tell you, just sharp. I love it. I look back, they used to say, just keep living. You just keep living. Can't tell you nothing, but keep living. Now, I think some of them pulled their hands off the wheel too fast. you're going to have to bump your head. Well, I ain't got to. Give me another chance. You ain't got to. Don't pull up yet. But life will bring them to you. Solomon said, time and chance happens to us all. Many storms are things that you didn't plan. They're things that somebody didn't do. They just happen. Went to work and got fired. We got downsized. Didn't see that coming. Well, that happened. In fact, you talk to some people and they'll tell you, I've been downsized 5 times. They're about this big now. I'm just kidding. But it happens. Storms come. Things happen in the world. Church problems arise. Brother so-and-so didn't get along with brother so-and-so. The preacher said something. He thought he was joking. Turns out somebody took it very seriously and hurt him. Don't want to be here anymore. The elders let some slip through the cracks. Something happened. The elders didn't attend to it quick enough. It happens. Now it's part of your life. Now it's part of the problem. It happens. If you keep living, storms will come. But then thirdly, sometimes we bring our own storms. Well, that's just the truth of the matter. We reap what we sow. Many storms are self-induced. Sometimes, as I like to describe people, when I watch them lathering themselves up, they become their own hype man. I don't know if you know what a hype man is. Have you ever seen this individual? Oh, you thought the person who was actually singing was the performance? No, no, no. The crowd mover is the guy next to the singer. And that's the hype man. He's the one in charge of getting the crowd up and amped and ready so that when the performer comes out, the crowd's already had a fever pitch ready to go. You know, in the world, there's two different people. But very often, it's the same person. I've seen people just lather themselves up into a fit of rage, and they did it all by themselves. He know what he did was wrong. That was real calm. Yeah, he probably did. No, you know he did it on purpose. And he make me sick the way he did that. And the last time he did it, then 5 minutes later, this person's blood is off the charts. What happened? I just kept lathering myself up until I could not be calmed down. There's some folks like that. Next thing you know, there's a storm a-brewing. We need a family meeting. We need a family intervention. Call that lady. You know her. Y'all Van Zandt something. Call the. Okay, we need somebody, a doc. Get somebody in here to calm this. What? I just lathered myself up until I. Very often, personal storms come from unthankfulness, ungratefulness, not being appreciative, discontented, maybe lustful or prideful. It appears that sometimes it's a great challenge to have peace and enjoy it. Some people's mind have a very hard time. Can't be happy unless we're solving a problem. Well, we don't have a problem. Let's make one. Wanting more often leads to actually having less. And we work ourselves up and create our own storms. But even if this man, because he's not perfect and sinless, he's built his house upon Jesus. The man who builds his house upon Jesus, regardless of which storm, whether a person brings them or life brings it, or even he himself creates a dynamic in his life that he is actually responsible for doing. If that man will do exactly why he's called wise in the first place, if that man will go back to the teachings of Jesus, repent himself for his actions, that storm will be solved even if he caused it. Such is the nature of who he built his house upon. Bible's a book of contrast, friends. This morning, if your house isn't built on Jesus, your house is on sinking and shifting sand. And when the storms of life comes, it will fall, and great will be the fall of it. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, the Christian this morning, become one. The invitation of our Lord is, whosoever will, let him come. God doesn't care about your money or your education or your whatever you've done. God doesn't care about that. God cares about your soul. And what God wants is for your soul to be cleansed by the blood of his Son. And what he invites you to do is respond to the gospel by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. By allowing that good news, that message to enter into your heart, and by believing it, make it and allow it to change your mind and your heart and the direction of your life. The Bible calls this repentance, a new mind, a change of direction, a change of life, commitment to God, turning away from sin, turning to Jesus. And then confess the name of Jesus. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What an affirmation. What a powerful testament. What a wonderful thing to be able to say. And when you choose Jesus, you can. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then be immersed in water. Put the old man to death. Bury him. And then rise and walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. Build your house upon Jesus. Build your house upon that which is eternal. Upon that which is infinite in power. Which has no limitations. And that which is certain without a doubt. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ so that it can stand when the storms of life come. Friends, if you never have, you need to. And if you haven't walked away, you very well know God will have you back and God wants you back. I love what Randy Medlin used to say. When you give the invitation, he'd often say, make a fresh run at Calvary. What a wonderful thought. Come back home to God if you need to. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.